you know, death, what is it, when you come back after death?
A near-death experience.
Near-death experience are related, so...
Yes, they are. They're very closely related.
Mm-hmm, and so forth. Yeah, well, what I want to ask is, first, has any ultra or infrasonic frequency has been discovered in these tapes of Billy Myers?
What type of frequencies did you ask?
Ultrasonic or infrasonic?
At this point in time, no. Although I think it would be best to probably put you in touch with one of the gentlemen that did the work on this. But I don't think there has. But an update on it, I'd be glad to answer that if you want to send me a letter.
Okay. And you were mentioning something about a beacon there in this spot in Switzerland. I suppose Switzerland is surrounded by mountains and Alps and so forth. If I remember correctly, Baron von Reichenbach, who's the discoverer of the Oortic Force and using crystals to detect this force, obtained these crystals from the Alps, and I think some of them were 6, 8, 10 feet long, so maybe that has something to do with it.
That could be.
Yeah.
We've also heard, for example, the continental shelf, which I think appears right on the border of New Mexico and Arizona, has been very heavy in UFO activity. I don't know if the shelf is a curiosity point for them, or if it has something to do with electromagnetic waves, or what. It's an interesting analogy, though.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps there's something like this in the Swiss area. We don't
Speaking of UFO air activity down there, I got clippings from Tucson newspapers of an event there of, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, where flights of 60 UFOs were observed for an hour and a half by air controllers, radar, thousands of people in the Tucson area. There they were. Now, they will not talk about it at the flight tower there at the airport. I tried to talk to someone about it. They have been hushed up, but they were seen. They were reported, well reported, everywhere except in Los Angeles. But the folks of Tucson had quite a show. They weren't balloons. They were readily watched on military and civilian radar.
Bill, I was with Wendell about 3 weeks ago. We spent several hours together, and he told me that the following evening after this major flap over Tucson, and I've heard there were, what, four waves of 15 apiece or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Staggered in between one another. But he told me the following evening, the same formation, the same number was sighted over the Burbank area and Santa Monica area.
Well,
have you heard anything about that?
I hadn't heard anything about the local flap at all. Obviously, I didn't see it, or I'd have been on the radio quite with that, and I carry my video camera with me everywhere I go, and would have gotten some footage. But it's interesting to me how legitimate news media, whenever they have a really incredible, well, I hate to use the word incredible because that means not to be believed, but astounding story like this. I think footage was shown on television in Tucson.
And also Phoenix.
And Phoenix. But the great editors of Los Angeles were not interested in that story. It's much better to have a wreck on the freeway on the tube.
Well, you know, Cora Lorenzen called it, she was interviewed by the local television station, one of them. She called it one of the greatest flaps of all time. And it probably is. Because she said it was a whole revolutionary new, you know, pioneering phase for sightings.
Well, it's similar to the sightings of last summer up in northern New York, although those were nighttime sightings, but thousands of people saw that. And again, wrecks on the freeway were far more important to our newspapers and television stations. Okay, Edson, appreciate those questions a great deal.
Thank you very much.
And Bob, you're on.
Oh, hi, Lee.
Yes.
Hi, I don't know if you can hear me too well. I can't hear you too well.
Oh, you're both coming in fine.
Okay. I've had a considerable difficulty locating Volume 1. I saw it, I think, around December of 81 for the first time in a bookstore. Never saw it after that, but it piqued my curiosity. I looked for it. I had people look in books and print and microfilm, B. Dalton, that sort of thing. Nobody could find it. I finally, 2 years later, found one defective copy in a bookstore in Thousand Oaks. And I was wondering, has Is there any type of government, at least interference, or have you been approached by anyone in the government as far as publishing such a remarkable story and photograph?
Okay, I think that's a two or three part answer there. First of all, Volume 1 is out of print, has been since 81. Let me go back to Volume 1. The reason we published it, Genesis 3 was set up, organized, and everything with the investigators of this case. When we got involved, we found that the expenses of investigating this case in Switzerland became astronomical. We were into six figures.
Wow.
Now, that's the most. We've spent more money investigating this case than any, I think, 10 other UFO cases in the history of ufology. So we had to come up with a solution to finance this investigation. And the solution came about through Volume 1. And the investigators set up Genesis 3. We published Volume 1 as an overview of the case. And we felt, well, we'll be lucky if we sell a couple of thousand. Maybe we can offset some of these tremendous expenses. Instead, it became an occult classic. We found that we have no idea.
I'd like to know where mine is. However, the beam ship videotape.
Yes.
I think surpasses Volume 1, and it probably will be a classic unto itself as well. Because, Bob, you'll not only get to see the pictures that are in Volume 1, or many of them, but you'll also get to see the movie footage.
That's another thing. I was curious as to why this case, as explicit as it is in its evidence, has not been detailed at all, like in the book by Fawcett and Greenwood, Clear Intent.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's even mentioned a word of it in there, even in passing. And it seems so remarkable. It's almost as if I show it to people and they look at me like, that's incredible, but is it for real?
I think one of the reasons is that Larry Fawcett, for instance, just doesn't have the hard evidence at his disposal, so it would be sort of improper for him to make too much comment about it.
Oh. Well, let me ask you this. Volume 2, is it going to be as hard to find as Volume 1 has been?
There are limited quantities left of Volume 2.
But Volume 2, you'll be very happy with it.
I'd love
to. Keep mine under lock and key.
The one I got is a publisher's defect. It's put, you know, a couple of the sections are upside down, but I bought it anyway because it's the only thing I could find after 2 years. And it's somewhat of a collector's item on top of that.
Well, Volume 2 is just as excellent in the picture and the photography. It answers a lot of the questions that were unanswered in Volume 1.
Terrific. Thanks a lot.
All right, Bob.
Bye-bye.
And we have another Bob on the line. Bob, welcome aboard. There you are, Bob.
Yes.
I hit the wrong button.
Yes, hi. I was wondering about this recent flap. About 6 weeks ago, I was outside about 2 a.m., and I saw a flight of three oval objects over the San Gabriel Mountains. I live in Pasadena.
Now, this is 3 weeks ago?
About 6 weeks ago. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you know, they came right over my house. What was I doing? Sleeping.
I've never seen anything. They were in absolutely strict formation, perfectly spaced out from each other. There were three of them. And they held this formation and skimmed right over Mount Wilson. And you could see them passing in front of portions of the mountain, actually moving through a cloud layer. There were some scattered clouds.
You say they were oval objects?
They were oval, and they were completely white.
And this was nighttime?
And it was 2 a.m., so yeah, it was. They were illuminated from inside, it looked like streetlights almost, but they were flying.
Were they windows or just an orb of light?
The whole shape was lit, was glowing. A very definite oval form. And no sound whatsoever that I could hear at this distance. So they must have been about 2.5 to 3 miles away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very strange, because I never had seen anything like that before, in this area at least.
Well, there has been an increase in sighting activity in Southern California, uh-huh. Arizona, New Mexico, this area.
I was wondering also in the films, are there situations where you can see part of the landscape behind the object and portions in front? That's what this situation was like.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I know I've done a lot of films myself with miniatures, and the hardest thing to do is to put a large or a living object like a person or a large moving tree or something like that in front of something that's small. That's where you really get into problems.
Yeah, the perspective, whenever you really start analyzing the perspective of the craft as it moves towards you and then back, you know you're not dealing with a model.
And also shadows. Do you ever see shadows, interplay of the shadows from the vehicle on the ground or on the people and
yes, you do.
In the scene, because I know that's another area where things can get very difficult.
Well, you know, Bill,